Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. My name is Jordan Thigpen. Today I'm joined by Chris Miller, Russ DeMott, and Jessica Navarro. We're going to have just a real sort of casual conversation. We've got some exciting stuff to share. If you are a Connect Group leader or just somebody who happens to listen to this podcast, you are going to get new and breaking information before everyone else. Congratulations, folks. You guys have a new sister. Let's get equipped. All right, exciting news. Everyone, if you are listening, some great news to share. A church in Reidsville has voted to become a Connection Church. So January 2026 will be the launch of Connection Church Reidsville.
Woo! That's good.
Praise God.
I love that.
That's cool.
It is super cool. So I wanted to take a little bit of time on this podcast to share the story of that, how that's kind of come about. It's something that Billy Shiver, the director of the Connection Network, he has especially been taking point on. But I've had the chance to sit sort of shotgun to him. One thing that I get to do is I serve as the associate director of the Connection Network, which basically just is a fancy title for when Billy wants to talk about church planning, he calls me. And that's always super fun. But that's been a been something that we've been working on for the last couple of months. And then even as I was texting about it with Russ, he was asking several good questions. And so to me, this just serves as sort of a twofold way to celebrate, let everybody know that listens to our podcast a little bit of ahead of time of something that's something big that's happening in the life of our church before really everyone else finds out about it. But then also just to have sort of an incidental conversation about church planting and how do these things happen and what are some of the processes behind it, and just to share some of those things and just kind of hear some of the questions that maybe come to mind. And if you don't have any questions, then it'll be a 14-minute podcast. So, but let's start with sort of how everything kind of came about. So I don't remember exactly how long ago it was. I know it's June, is it the 1st or 2nd today?
It's the 2nd.
June 2nd. Yesterday was Quentin's birthday. Happy birthday, Quentin.
Happy birthday, Quentin.
Happy birthday, Quentin.
Old QAnon. So that was, so we had this meeting yesterday, June 1st. They had one final Q&A that they wanted to schedule. And I guess we've been doing this for, I mean, 3 or 4 months now. Does that sound right? Billy was approached by a lady named Charla. She is in Reidsville, and she kind of has just been, has kept everything operationally going for a church called Grace Point Church in Reidsville before it was the First United Methodist Church of Reidsville. And they disaffiliated, like many First United Methodist churches have over the last couple of years, and they formed a church called Grace Point Church. Well, then they had a pastor that left. There was something that happened, and I don't know if the guy just got a different opportunity. I don't know if he retired. I don't remember exactly what happened. But in trying to think about the future of their church, Charla reached out to Billy and just said, hey, we're just trying to figure out what to do. We know that you guys seem to plant churches, and God seems to be doing a lot in y'all's churches. Could you just come and talk to us about what should we do from here? And the first time they wrote over, Billy texted me. It must have been like either the day of or the day before. It's like, hey, I'm going to talk to this church about how to help them from where they are. You want to ride over? So I wrote over, and as they were talking, we just threw out the idea of, you know, we could, on the one hand, give you some advice and talk you through, maybe try to help you find a pastor. Or you guys, if you wanted to, if the Spirit of God's leading you to, we could figure out a way to help you guys become a Connection Church. And you guys can be a part of our family of churches, and we will help lead you guys into the future. And before the meeting was over, they seemed really interested in option B of becoming a Connection Church. And so over the course of time, we kind of talked back and forth about that. Their members seemed really excited. We started sending different Connection Church people over to preach different services. I've been over there 3 times now, I guess, maybe 4, to preach on a Sunday morning just to fill their pulpit for their people as Grace Point Church. And then it progressed to where we gave them sort of a set of preview services. We gave them a moment where they said, okay, yes, we do want to vote and move forward as a body of believers with you guys showing us what would it be like to be a Connection Church. And so we did a vision series called Blueprint. I think that's what it was called. I think it was called Blueprint.
Something like that.
Some catchy non-denominational sermon series name. And I preached on community. Brandon preached on generosity. A pastor from Vidalia named Steve preached on evangelism, and somebody else preached on
serving.
Yeah, I can't remember. Maybe it was Billy that preached on serving. At the end of that, I think they had somebody preached 2 more times just to kind of fill the time, but they knew that after that series that they were going to have a vote. Oh, and Andrew Macker and Keenan, shout out to Keenan. Love Keenan around here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
That we would have a they went over and led worship consistently mm-hmm. every Sunday, and that brought a lot of energy. And like I said, I preached 3 or 4 times, and every Sunday, the whole Sunday morning would just about double. Mm-hmm. And not because of me, but just mm-hmm. in the momentum of over the weeks, I just would observe. They had members that had left that were starting to come back. They had mm-hmm. people from the community that hadn't been coming to their Sunday morning. And it was just really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's not even the best part to me. This is the best part. One of our Connect group leaders, Nick Hart and Avery, they were just doing their thing, right? Just leading a normal Connect group. And a college student named Chap Schumann just started going to Nick and Avery's Connect group. And he just fell in love with what they were doing, of being a place where guys could experience community, they could talk about the word, they could confess sin. And he fell in love with it so much that he took the same idea back to Grace Point and just said, I just need space to hold a small group Bible study. And so he took the same concept of what we do with our Connect groups, of it being a place where we can just... what's God been showing you lately? What stood out to you in the reading of God's word? How can I pray for you? Some variation of what we do with small groups. And it grew to like 15, then 20 mm-hmm. guys from the wow. Reidsville community. And the church is also looking at Chap and what he's got going on and like, we want that. We want to do more of that. And he's like, well, this is what Connection Church does. Mm-hmm. And so I just love that idea that, like, what our Connect group leaders do, you just don't know the sideways fruit of God's faithfulness through your obedience, you know. So shout out to what you do as a Connect group leader of, who knows, somebody could catch the vision, it could wind up planting a church.
Something I think that's really cool to piggyback off of that is the fact that Nick and Avery are multiplied Connect group leaders out of another Connect group.
That's right.
And then Chap takes that vision and then is sent out of that Connect group to go to Reidsville. And so now it's been multiplied again.
Yes.
And that is what led to now being able to multiply churches.
And it's not that like Jason Loy ever sought out to raise up a church planter.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
They sought to lead a gospel-centered Bible study, mm-hmm. and lead it because they don't really do the 4-12 approach that a lot of our Connect group leaders do. They go through a book of the Bible, and theirs is like, I'm going to feed you a wild game supper.
And you're going to be here for 4 hours.
Yes, sir. But now if you're all about it, mm-hmm. you're all about it.
Yes, sir.
And Nick and Avery are all about it. And I had the chance Nick went with me to Turkey. It was me, Nick, Daniel, and Macy. And it was just cool to see, like, and now he didn't leave that thinking like, I'm for sure ever going to move overseas. But it just was like, I see God's mission at a grander scale. Mm-hmm. And there is something to be said, if no other principle sticks with us, there is world-changing power in a well-discipled, biblically hungry follower of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. And so you just, if you can find somebody in your group, and I reckon, to me, there's a lot of benefits of Connect Group. I enjoy the community of it, mm-hmm. but my favorite part of Connect Group is fishing for hungry people. Mm-hmm. You can find somebody that's hungry to follow Jesus. That's, mm-hmm. you can find people that a spark ignites for a hunger for Scripture, and begin to walk beside them and teaching them the art of prayer and the art of reading and understanding Scripture and experiencing God through His Word, and just seeing some of those things click and the lights come on. Now here we are. We're the 10th Connection Church, the mm-hmm. We are slowly giving birth to a new sister in mm-hmm. our network of churches, which is just super, mm-hmm. super cool. And so, I just wanted to take a second and share that with our audience, with our Connect Group leaders, anybody that's listening. So, but just, you know, shout out to Chap. It was cool. Like last night at that members meeting for Grace Point, like Chap was in the audience with his fiance Hannah, and like he didn't stand up and give a passionate speech. He didn't really say anything. He just was faithful to continue to lead his Bible study and his small group, and showed up to vote. And mm-hmm. that was what he did. But mm-hmm. his faithfulness echoed, and his fingerprints were kind of all over that mm-hmm. whole night. So, yeah. That's awesome. What do y'all think about that?
I think it's awesome.
One thing that I think about is I sat down at my desk today and was thinking about prayer. I promise I'm coming back to this. It may take me a while to get there, but I promise I'm coming back. Was thinking about prayer and just really wanting to like talk to our Connect group, and even for Casey and I, man, after listening to Chris's message yesterday, just a spark and not ignited in me to like begin to be a lot more diligent in my prayer life. Mm-hmm. And so I sat down and like wanted to compile like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of prayer prompt for Casey and I to have, to just try to begin to go through, just to if nothing else, it's easy to look at a paper and just think like, these are things that I can actively be praying about. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I wrote on there is future church plants. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if we're going to pray about future church plants, we need leaders that are going to rise up to plant those churches. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to need leaders to rise up, how do those leaders rise up? It's through, I believe what you said, Jordan, of just healthy connect groups and having mm-hmm. conversations and being in the Word and being intentional and looking for those hungry people. And so I take all that back to, it really does matter, like the week-to-week meetings of connect groups. Mm-hmm. If we want to see this vision of 50 churches by 2050 come to life, when you scale that all the way back down to like, what can we do on a weekly basis to make that happen? Be intentional with your connect groups. Yeah. Be intentional with your discipleship.
Yeah.
Be intentional with the people that you see that spark and go, there's something a little bit different about that person. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know 2 years from now if that's the next church plant.
Yeah. Man, that's so good.
Mm-hmm. Great point.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's kind of one thing you can, just as a coaching point for our connect groups, like I know it's easy to get focused on the person that doesn't get it, or the problem child of the group, or the bird with broken wings. And all of those people still need our care, but they need the appropriate care. Mm-hmm. They don't need your doting and your fixing everything going on in their life. If you can spend 80% of your time with people that are hungry and helping find and identify who those hungry people are in your connect group, your whole experience with connect group will change. Mm-hmm. You know, if I get that there's a place for, we need to really get this person to the type of help that they need, or, you know, we need to create a culture and have a specific dynamic in the life of our connect group. But for the purposes of advancing the mission of God, finding those hungry people and spending time fueling their mission can go a long way.
I think something that goes with that too is whenever you have a connect group that you have some people in there that are on fire and you see that spark in them, the problem people in your connect group, you give that problem person to some of those people in your connect group and watch them grow through helping them through their trials.
Yeah, that's great. Of empowering, giving them, people in your group, a purpose, something to latch onto and to dig their hands into, is great. Well, Russ, you had texted me when we were kind of talking about it last night. You just said, so what's next? And I just kind of fired off some stuff. And since then, Billy has sent me like a whole notes document of stuff. But this is just some vision, right? This is just like, it's not just like, oh, cool, they voted in. And now like, well, we'll just send them a pastor, you know? We got to find one, you know? That's going to be a point of faith and of prayer. We got to find a company to come and renovate the building. So it's a 100-plus-year-old building. And currently the auditorium could maybe sit 125 people uncomfortably. You get 125 people in hard wooden pews. I mean, it's uncomfortable. We got to do an assessment of some type of a church planner, of finding who that is. We would have to begin core team stuff. And so now that church, functionally, their membership will dissolve. And now we are starting a new entity. It's going to go from Grace Point Reidsville to Connection Church Reidsville under a new entity. And now membership will have to be formed under this new covenant community, right? So all those members will need to go back through our heart and soul process. They're going to need to travel probably to Connection Church Vidalia for an extended season, both for the practical purposes of renovating the building, but also to see and experience what does a Connection Church feel like? How do we catch the culture of this new thing? Not just like running the Grace Point play, but calling it a Connection Church play. Like we got to go and see and experience what is Connection Church's culture. Same thing with Connect Group Leader stuff. We gotta figure out what to do. One, we got to find some Connect Group leaders, right? Like they don't just come out of nowhere. And so we got to do that. We're going to have some interest meetings in Vidalia and in Statesboro. So Billy has a list of between 100 and 200 people that live in Reidsville or Glenville or Claxton that drive to Vidalia to come to Connection Church Vidalia. And we at Statesboro probably have 50 to 75 to 100 people that live in Claxton or Reidsville or Glenville or somewhere that drive to Connection Church Statesboro, which is, that's a poke. And so we have to continue to do, we're going to have an interest meeting for them to share some of this and cast the vision for it. And then also Connect Grace Point, they're going to have to merge their resources with Connection Church Vidalia, which it'll be merging it into Connection Church Reidsville. It'll be a new entity, but control of that will be with
Jordan. This may be, I don't know what I was about to say, but anyways, I'm going to ask the question. Those interest meetings, say somebody listening to this podcast, a Connect Group leader, a Connect Group member, or whoever listens to this podcast, hears about interest meeting. They are one of those people that is living in the area and is coming to Connection Statesboro or Connection Vidalia. Would there be an encouragement of them to begin and go to Connection Reidsville to try to help and build that culture?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, part of sending, which we just did this with our long-term folks going to going overseas, that we're sending away our best, right? Like we're not sending away people that it's just easy to dispense with, but they're the most ready and qualified and able to go. And so if you're a Connect Group leader here in Statesboro, I would unashamedly encourage you to go because you're helping us open a new window into heaven. That's what a church plant is. And so having people that can go and model what a good, healthy Connect Group is, receive people from that community into your Connect Group, I would hope, preferably, that you would raise up a leader to take over your group here before piecing out on us, but even, you know, people that are in Connect groups here that could go and just submit yourself to the process of, I'm not owed anything. I don't deserve a certain title because I'm going, but I just want to go and participate in the mission in whatever way I can find a spot, you know, that would be my encouragement. Um, Any other questions or thoughts? Any other ways we could kind of pull back the curtain on this process a little bit?
So when will that start for them to be going to Vidalia's campus?
It'll probably line up whenever we can find a company to. So we'll have to find somebody that can look at the building mm-hmm. and like say, okay, you can knock this wall out. You can't knock this wall out. You know, there's only so much expansion you can do mm-hmm. in the building. But we'll see. We're gonna give it our best crack anyway.
Yeah.
It would be so whenever we can renovate their current facility would probably be the time that they would make that commute over to Vidalia, which, you know, can, as I understand it, like construction companies like Pope and other places, they're all tied up for the summer, you know, like they're all renovating middle schools, high schools, elementary schools where our kids are out and they're on a deadline to get everything done before August. And so it'll just probably, I mean, it'll probably be like September, maybe late August, September, before you're talking about somebody coming and able to look at it, get the design, get it approved, yada, yada, yada. I mean, you saw how long it took for us to renovate a storage portion of our building.
True.
Just to get that done.
Man, that fire marshal in Reidsville better be on top of
that. I would count on it.
I don't even think they have fire codes in Reidsville. I think it's just, it's a structure. So, no, I'm just kidding. But
so they have, y'all have people, like, people lined up to preach until then? Or, like, how does that work?
Yeah, I think it'll just be sort of preaching by bullpen, kind of just assigning each Sunday to the best of my knowledge. I think that, and again, this is fresh, but that's from what I understand, what I remember from the meeting last night. We'll continue to send people over to preach just to continue serving them as a church. Mm-hmm. And
would you encourage any of our members to go and just visit the church one Sunday?
100%. Yeah, I think especially take our worship culture with you. Mm-hmm. Like, you may be the only one. I know when I've preached and they've had music, I've been the only one that would, like, raise my hands and was vocal, like, encourage the person preaching, say amen, and things like that. Like, that's super encouraging, and it helps build a more – what we're trying to – the biggest thing that we're trying to turn the corner on is it going from a – and this isn't – I'm not saying this about anyone at Grace Point. It's trying to make sure this becomes a vessel of contribution, not a vessel of consumption.
For sure. And I didn't mean any of those comments in a negative way towards those people, because I had the opportunity to go with you when you preached, and, like,
they're super sweet.
I fell in love with them. These people are awesome. These people are amazing. And just how welcoming and excited they were for us to be there was super encouraging.
But you can imagine there being some paralysis of contributing our way. They're used to contributing their way.
Correct.
But how do we run our play?
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be some paralysis, too, of, like, I mean, some of their youngest people are, like, 65.
Mm.
So they got some saints in the 80s, 90s. I think one lady's even 100. And so you need to show up with some patience, because it's a big generational gap. Like, and the average age of our church is, like, 30 or something. Mm-hmm. So... that's a great question. Show up, bring some energy, make them feel excited, make them feel like you're welcoming a new baby at the hospital, you know, like you got a new sibling. That's the way I hope that people feel about it.
Yeah, for sure.
We definitely have some energy here at Connection Church. And a few weeks ago, I spoke at another church, and the energy was not the same as Statesboro Connection. I left there and came over here and caught our second service, and I felt the difference just walking in the front door. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit here. I felt the energy. I felt the excitement. I felt the hunger for the Lord, and I think it is important if some of our people do go over to take that with them, get that Holy Spirit, get the Holy Spirit moving over there and those people too, to be able to see the great things that God's going to do over there.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great point. Like, and I think it'll be a stretch of faith for our people because mm-hmm. they're used to showing up to a pre-established culture. They are mm-hmm. a lot of our folks here have inherited this mm-hmm. more participatory, you know, charismatic culture. And so now to go there and have to be the carrier of that mm-hmm. is a very different thing.
Opportunity for growth.
Opportunity for growth. If anything, you know, on the one hand, it may, like, God may show you your missional next step, mm-hmm. but at, you know, at worst, it makes you come back and appreciate the church that you do have. Mm-hmm. So, but those are win-wins. Any other thoughts?
So what does the process look like from here moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
What are the...
It'll probably be some of it is just doing what is available. So like when we find a church planter or a pastor, we'll put them through assessment. And just like we would any other church planter, just like we did for Jamie, for Oconee, this was last like July maybe, we mm-hmm. did an assessment. And then put him in residency for a year. So even if they were identified and they went through assessment and they may be able to start working, but we would treat them with the same level of investment as if they were a new church planter. And so there's some real benefit to that.
What does that assessment look like for somebody that may be listening that's just curious about like the network and how we go about with the church plants and stuff?
So I typically put together a profile of them through their culture index, their working genius, and their theology and philosophy questionnaire that we send them. And then, so a lot of it is the applicant, like, it's not really a pass-fail. I mean, you'd have to say something pretty egregious in there, like, hey, my favorite pastor is Joel Osteen or something to, like, to be flagged in the application, but like usually they are somebody that the sending church has already approved.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to help refine.
Yeah.
And so for Jamie, I mean, we've known Jamie for forever, but we just focused on like what were ways that we could add value to his growth before the mission of God exposed it in real time, you mm-hmm. know? And so, believe it or not all pastors are good at everything. They are, actually have flaws and weaknesses, and usually it is the well-intended comments of parishioners that reveal those things. But if residency can reveal those things, then the wounds of a friend feel a lot better than the blows of what can feel like an enemy with church members that make kind of harsh comments at times. But that's what we're trying to do. It's so there's that. We build that profile, and then in assessment, we evaluate. I don't know if I could pull it up fast enough for us talking about it on the podcast, but I was just doing this for, you know, for the Reidsville side of things coming up. But we put together in the assessment where we're, here's our competency profile. We're evaluating pastoral skill, preaching ability, disciple making, how they are as a husband and father, their level of leadership currently, and visionary skill. And so we grade that on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being not only is this competency a strength, but that they set a new standard of excellence and ability that makes them a leader amongst peers in regard to that competency. So Stanley Lane from Wilco, he is a 5 as a husband and father. He is an exceptional husband and father. Like when I have questions about being a good husband and being a good dad, I call Stanley Lane. I call lots of other pastors too, but like then just in an assessment thing, that's something we learned about him in assessment, is that he is an exceptional dad. You know, if you think about like visionary skill or like preaching, I think of Brandon, you know, just an exceptional communicator, you know, sets a new standard of excellence. So that kind of a thing. But then like your standard mark is a 3, you know, before is substantially above passing. This will be a competency that shines in their life and recognize. I mean, if anybody scores a 4 on any of these things, that's like you're awesome. Probably not going to spend a lot of time, if any time, in residency on this. A three is your sufficient grade regarding a competency. This is the standard grade. Unless someone bears abnormal traits that indicate substantial skill or excellence, this marks them as passable in a given area, but not excellent or unique. Four is excellent. Five is unique. Mm. So that's how we're kind of grading those things. We do that through several modules. So we have a preaching assessment. They have to prepare a 15-minute mini sermon. We have to evaluate like where they're at as a Connect Group leader. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that is asking the sending church pastor, how long have they led a Connect Group? Mm-hmm. Have they multiplied that Connect Group? Do other Connect Group leaders follow them naturally? Mm-hmm. Pipeline presentation. So I get them on a whiteboard and they have to show me the X's and O's of our disciple-making pipeline. Mm-hmm. What does everything fit together? And when they talk about it, am I interested? If they talk about it and I'm like, I think you understand it, but I don't know that I don't understand it any better because of the way you presented it, then that's probably a two, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, if they can at least articulate it, that's probably a three. But if it's like, I think it was Jamie, when he like worked through the pipeline and their way of doing it, I was like, I put some pieces together that mm-hmm. were a little bit different. We try to have a marriage celebration to send the planter and his wife on a date, just let them. But we also pay for them to go through a Court of Three counseling session, just to, one, as a benefit to them mm-hmm. of strengthening their marriage, but also for us to get a sense of where's their marriage actually at. Mm-hmm. I hate to send them to the field. Their marriage is on the rocks mm-hmm. or not even optimal. It needs to be great. Mm-hmm. And then leading leaders. So I've done different things where I put them through a Shark Tank kind of panel where they have to like take a hostile church member to lunch and tell them about their church plant and watch them wiggle.
Squirm, as Chris Miller would say.
Squirm.
Squirm.
So yeah, so that's some of that we put them through that assessment. I would rather them feel and experience pressure through us mm-hmm. and just see what kind of comes out of them when put under pressure. So that's what we typically do at assessment.
Mm. I heard you mention core team. What exactly is that?
Yeah, so that's going to be anybody specifically within Grace Point currently, but also as people come over from Connection Vidalia, Connection Statesboro. At the core, it's going to be your volunteer team leaders, your Connect Group leaders, your potential staff people, mm-hmm. your
worship.
Worship, which would mean especially if they're like a key volunteer. So in a church plant, like you don't have the budget to hire a full staff like we have at Connection Statesboro. You kind of have to see who does God provide as a volunteer mm-hmm. for whether it's worship or guest services, which are really crucial roles for us. Like having Quentin just doing next steps is huge. Mm-hmm. There, it's going to be kind of all hands on deck of volunteers, but there'll be that person who, and same thing with probably kids, like your kids director, depends on how fast kids grow. Like if you've got 100 kids, right now they have, when they had 11 the other week, they were like, man, this is a lot of kids.
Mm. When the Thiglets showed up, it doubled their kids ministry.
Yeah. Yeah, when my crew rolled in there, and really, McClendon and Charlotte could basically be the childcare workers mm-hmm. over there, except for Keller.
You need a separate person to watch Keller.
Yeah, sometimes I want to put him in the buddies room.
Oh, come on now.
Don't do my boy like that now.
Real. He's something.
He's something. I ain't no doubt about it.
He's 100% boy.
Absolutely.
That's, he's all... Oh boy. Jace took him fishing yesterday while I had to go to Reedsville, and he liked catching the fish. He didn't want to touch the fish to take him off the hook. But James just likes playing with the mm-hmm. fish. And so Keller would catch the fish, reel it in. James would unhook the fish, play with the fish, Keller go back to fishing. Just start reeling him in. Jace is a better dad to my kids than I am. But so the core team part of that, and that'll change. But it's the people that like uniquely understand the vision, mm-hmm. are uniquely bought in. So there'll be a place for everyone, mm-hmm. right? Everybody that wants to make the switch. And the reality is that probably not everybody will. Mm-hmm. You know, just like we have folks that are heart and soul or were heart and soul that leave and go to another church, or for whatever reason, not everybody makes it, right? Mm-hmm. But the core team are the people that are like, man, you understand what we're doing here. Like, you have a role on the team, and we're entrusting this sort of core leadership together to see this thing through, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and I think, and you know, there's hopefully going to be, like, I think they already had, like, a student person potentially, like somebody that was going to do students, mm-hmm. That was super bought in and doing a good job over there already, and a couple different things. But so that's going to be an exciting time to mm-hmm. explain to them what is heart and soul, what are connect groups, what's our vision behind serving, mm-hmm. What's our heart for unreached people groups. That's going to be mm-hmm. a new whole dynamic conversation of mm-hmm. like, how do we think about leveraging our finances for the purposes of reaching unreached nations. Mm-hmm. So things that they're not going to be opposed to, it's just yeah. going to be new in the way that we approach it. So Billy has a list here of items to accomplish before January. So all those folks need to attend Sunday mornings in Vidalia throughout the fall to learn and experience Connection Church culture. And I share this, I invite you guys that are listening to pray for these things, for these folks as they make these transitions. So you're talking about 65, 75, 85, 95-year-old people that are making significant missiological changes mm-hmm. in their beliefs and understandings of the mission of God.
Mm. That's awesome.
Isn't that sick? Yeah. That is so cool.
That's wild.
Yeah.
As Kenyon would say, that's so holy, bro. launch team and connect group meetings in Reidsville. So probably Sundays and Wednesdays will be used for launch team and connect group meetings. Everyone will go through heart and soul. It's really important. Mobilize Connection Church Vidalia people to join Connection Church Reidsville launch team. Establish unity around vision, mission, strategies, and cultures. Establish healthy outreach presence in Tattnall County community. So one thing we talked about was like serving Tattnall County, like elementary school and Pinewood, if that's a need. But just trying to, you know, we try to be in the community. Mm-hmm. Train up 8 to 12 connect group leaders, which is that's no small thing, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hire staff, so we'll need a campus pastor or eventually a lead planting pastor, a KK person, a worship person, a guest services next steps person, and a students person. Build and launch the website and social media. Need to renovate the building. It needs to be able to hold 250 to 300 people on a Sunday morning, and that'll almost for sure go to two services almost immediately in January, mm. I think, mm-hmm. potentially, which is cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
There'll be purchases that are necessary. I mean, if you think about like starting over from scratch with all KK material, think about how much that would be. You know, or they've got a pretty good like AV stuff, like tech stuff, like TVs and speakers and mics and stuff. So then train the connectors in all areas. So those are all things that are to-dos that we'll be working with them on, mm-hmm. walking through with them. That's really exciting. But just a 2 to 3 year set of goals, if you could join us in praying for these goals. Pray that God would raise up 2 to 3 elders. Mm. Pray for 200 to two. Huh? What'd you say?
It sounds like they're all elders.
Not 2 to 3 elderlies, but 2 to 3 elders. Between 200 to 250 total in attendance. Mm. I think it's going to be way more than that. 50 to 75 kids coming. That would be y'all from 3 kids running around waving palm branches on Palm Sunday. Mm. One of them little rascals stealing my wallet and taking it to the kids area.
Divvying it up.
Yeah.
You get one, I get one.
He ain't have much money to throw around. That was my son that did that. 160 heart and soul members that are serving, giving, and in a connect group. Man, you're talking about some game changing stuff.
You ain't lying.
But think of what that can do for the city of Reidsville.
Yeah.
I mean, these goals get met. Like the evangelistic reach that Connection Church is going to have in that little town is going to be phenomenal.
So yeah, there's that. You're exactly right. It's just the potential of what could be. It's just really, really cool. So
and you almost even begin. You definitely begin reaching Claxton, Glenville, but then you almost begin reaching like some of the outskirts of Metter. Mm-hmm. You know, you're at least getting close to kind of that area. Yep. I mean, you can begin to reach a large kind of geographic location.
Collins.
From that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some things that are like closer to there. I mean, I'm just thinking about like Gary that pulled into the parking lot last night. He's an Imago Dei, one of the Imago Dei brothers, and he was like, oh gosh, there's a Connection Church going here. I live 7 minutes from here and drives all the way to Statesboro, you know, for all things Connection Church, you know, and just the difference. Just, I mean, just him already being well versed in like discipleship essentials or like some type of any disciple making strategy, that's already a culture changing kind of thing, you know. So
I mean, it just shows the providence of God. I mean, this didn't happen by accident. Yeah.
That's right.
It didn't. Yeah. None of it happened by accident. Absolutely. You know, it's all God. You know, playing the game of chess that He plays to get the results that He wants to get in Reidsville, Georgia.
Yeah, yeah, and 100%. Like they had, I think I got the number right. I think 46 people voted last night, and 43 voted yes. Only 3 people voted no. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was like, "Well, who voted no?" And
meet them out in the parking lot.
I need to pray with you, ma'am. But no, who knows? I don't have any indication who it was, but I mean, that is it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
So
I think, as just hearing all the things that you have to, like, that's on the list. I'm just like, I'm thinking of experiencing God, all the stories that you hear in it. I'm like, this is going to be one of those stories where we don't know where it's coming from, but like the Lord is on the move and it's so obvious. Yeah. And like His hand has been in through this from the very beginning and just seeing it come to completion. Like it's going to be one of those stories.
Super cool.
Absolutely.
I believe that too.
Yeah.
And we need more. Like again, as we're going to reach 50 churches by the year 2050, we're going to need some real... I mean, every church that gets planted is a miracle.
Yeah.
But we're going to need some God stories of like, you remember when that group of like kind of older folks that are just like, hey, we love what y'all are doing. We'd love to give you all of our stuff and y'all take it to the next generation. Like, we're going to need some moments like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got with Connection Church Reidsville of like, you know, strategically, who would have thought Reidsville would be a place that we're kind of knocking on the door of like 250, 300 people planting a church, you know? But through God's economy.
That's right.
He's got a different set of evaluations that, you know, we're going to need more of that. And I hope that we're just beginning to scratch the surface of you mentioned Metter, of all kind of different places, Macon, Milledgeville, all these different places that I hope we begin to see God move, raise up
really
people.
I was really scared you were going to say Moultrie, but I'll just go ahead and say it since you didn't.
You were scared I was going to say Moultrie?
Yeah, you and Billy always pick on me about going to Moultrie.
Well, as
Moultrie needs a Connection Church.
See, there it is.
I don't like to twist anyone's arm.
What was that, Jeff? Yeah.
I just laughed. That's all that was.
I didn't realize there was a screeching owl button on the soundboard. Yeah.
But no, I think that's something that just spending time with you, Jordan, has really, and Billy too, has just really become something that my heart longs for too, is just to see the church plants. And so it's exciting to be able to be on the inside and kind of this being my first one that has taken place of being on staff and really getting to see behind the curtain, I think has been very, for me at least, it's been very intriguing to ask questions and to be like, well, what's going on here? What's going on there? So it's super exciting.
I think that church planting should be, and I think it is, the most life-giving thing for even your most average, ordinary church member, mm-hmm. because it should give significant purpose to your week-to-week participation.
Mm-hmm.
That, why do I show up on Sunday morning? Because I just never know who's going to have that one moment greeting that is going to change their eternity.
Mm.
If I show up, my faithfulness and connect group, I never know who's going to, that's going to spark a hunger just by my curiosity about the word, my transparency about my spiritual life, you know, my being vulnerable about my weaknesses and my sin. You don't know who that's going to impact in such a way that God then uses that to go and start another group, and that group potentially reaches another community, yeah. and then we plant another church.
You said this in the Heart and Soul, the last Heart and Soul dinner, but if we're going to see the goal, if God's going to move in such a way that we believe he is, that we're going to see the goal of 50 churches planted by 2050, almost for sure there are people that are just normal Connect Group members that are going to be church planters. Mm-hmm. Almost for sure there are people that are unreached, disconnected mm-hmm. from Connection Church that are going to get saved, become Heart and Soul, mm-hmm. Get in a Connect Group, and be a future church planter. Mm-hmm. And like when you begin to think about that and the move of God for that to happen, mm-hmm. that's incredible. That's exciting.
Yeah, and it's 25 years, right, yeah. between now and the end of roughly that goal. But, I mean, yeah, somebody could genuinely mm-hmm. be lost mm-hmm. and not know Jesus yet, and they will one day potentially be a church planter. Mm.
I believe we're going to get to a point as these churches get planted that it's going to become exponential, the amount of people that are being raised up. We're going to get to a tipping point
mm-hmm.
in the life of Connection Church mm-hmm. where we're going to be pumping out leaders at an exponential rate because mm-hmm. of the vast number of people that Connection Church is going to have influence
mm-hmm.
in. We're going to see that being raised up mm-hmm. and it just boil to the top, mm-hmm. you know.
Man.
It's just like a pot boiling. We're going to see yeah. it flowing over the other side of the pot, yeah. and it's going to be people that are yeah. not only church planters, but we're going to see long-term missionaries,
yeah.
we're going to see short-term Amen. Missionaries. We're going to see all kinds of missional leadership just come boiling out of that pot because of what God's doing right now.
What?
Amen.
I know.
And then that's
I have tears in my eyes just thinking about it.
Isn't that
we
awesome?
Know you do.
I mean, no,
you
I'm
do.
Sorry.
And well, I mean, and the grace that God has poured out on us to be able to be part of it.
Amen.
Like, it just overwhelms me sometimes.
It's you just look around at stuff that's happening and you just marvel that, like, that's amazing. I never imagined that we would get to see something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, there's nothing you can really take credit for. Mm-hmm. It's just the
yeah.
faithfulness of God that He has a mission that he wants to accomplish, and he will use us if we'll let him.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, if we'll let him. If yeah. we'll get out of our own way.
If we'll say yes to things that we're not comfortable saying yes,
yes.
to,
yeah.
and if we'll stop saying no to things that only we can conceive of, God will do things that only can be explained by him.
Yes.
So stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Literally.
Well, cool. Well, thank y'all for entertaining this conversation with me today. I'm really excited for Reidsville. I still believe that the best is yet to come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think there are more Reidsville stories out there.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there are people that are in jobs right now that they love
mm-hmm.
that if they'll release their grip on it to step into something new that God has for them, that they can be a part of God's mission. That doesn't necessarily yes. mean that their employment will even yeah. change, but thinking about it from a kingdom perspective could make all the difference in that. And so thank you guys yeah. for listening today. I'm really excited about the future. If you have relationships at other churches and other towns that are struggling and dying and they need help and support, we at Connection Network as a whole would be happy to partner with them and talk to them about that. You never know. They could be new brothers and sisters in the mm-hmm. Connection Network family.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. at the very least, we want to encourage gospel-centered churches and Bible-teaching churches and mission-driven church-planting churches. If we can help be a small piece in the puzzle in that way, or if they can be a big piece of the puzzle in our new family, we would mm-hmm. love to talk to them about that. So we'll see you next time on the podcast, and we'll talk to you soon.